From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. The U.S. trade deficit hit a record high in February, $61.4 billion. That means the U.S. bought $61.4 billion more from other countries than it was able to sell overseas. Much of the increase in the trade gap came from rising oil prices and from a massive surge in Chinese textiles coming to the U.S. NPR's Adam Davidson reports on who's helped and who's hurt by the trade gap.
International trade has been very hard on Jeffrey McDonald. He spent most of his life working at a textile plant near Florence, Alabama, until it closed because it couldn't compete with cheap Chinese imports.
Are you talking about hard, man? I went, I had to draw out all my savings, lost all of my retirement. I mean, I'm 50 years old, and I don't have nothing put back from retirement, you know. So I had to use all it just to get by.
McDonald says he never thought much about international trade back in the 1980s, back when his town was called the T-shirt capital of the U.S. Pretty much everyone he knew worked in textiles.
The textile business meant a whole lot to this area here, and it's, right now it's nothing. It's all gone. It's sad. It's a bad thing, real bad, because that's all most of these people around here, including myself, that's all we've ever done. And it's been rough on everybody. And going to get rougher, I think.
Barry Bosworth is an economist at the Brookings Institution. He says that international trade will likely kill almost all American textile and other low-wage manufacturing jobs.
The notion that trade's good for everybody simply isn't true. All we're saying is there are more winners out of this process than there are losers. That doesn't make it any less painful for the losers.
The losers to trade are obvious. Workers lose jobs. Companies go out of business. So who are the winners? In theory, everyone in the U.S. All of these imports tend to be cheaper than the stuff we make ourselves. So all of us can buy more with the same amount of money. Barry Bosworth.
It's a lot of fun. All of us have probably done something like this in our own personal behavior. You go out on a consumption binge and you run up your credit card to the limit. While you're doing it, it's a lot of fun. It's very enjoyable. While we're doing it as a country, our standard of living is higher than it otherwise could be. But there is, we believe, at the personal level, a day of reckoning.
Bosworth says the U.S. is so wealthy that our national day of reckoning is not imminent and could be as far as a decade or two away. But Robert Scott, an economist with the Economic Policy Institute, says trade is supposed to help American workers.
Well, that's the theory, that trade is supposed to boost the real living standards. The problem with that theory is that when we look at the data, it simply isn't borne out. Workers' living standards haven't been increasing for the last 20 years.
Every time we buy a Sony PlayStation or a bottle of French wine, or a factory buys a big machine from Germany, we're transferring money from the U.S. to other countries, and we're now giving away our money faster than any country ever has, to the tune of about 6% of GDP a year. Right now, few consumers even notice the trend. We like buying cheap goods. Foreign countries like selling them to us. Barry Bosworth.
It's an unsustainable situation in the long run, but perversely, it's in the interest of everybody who's engaged in it at the present time. And therefore, there's very little political incentive to do anything about it. They just want to wait until the crisis comes.
Bosworth says we can avoid the crisis by spending less and saving more. If we don't, we'll probably be hit with bad inflation and a recession. But no one knows when that will happen. Adam Davidson, NPR News, Washington.